Mark was eager to try and make the sting work with another load, but for some reason, the police weren't all that interested.
This wasn't a task force operation, and we do have a few other criminals to catch, so...
You can't just leave it at that. These are million-dollar robberies. Armed robberies. Surely that warrants the full resources of the police department.
The detective showed Mark a smile that told him he thought he was being a wise ass. Mark decided to lighten up, because whenever he started talking smart, especially to the police, was when he got into the most trouble.
We're gonna be keeping a close watch on the shipments coming out of the distillery and shipments out of a half dozen other yards in the city. But we can't afford the manpower to put on another sting like we did today. Now, we gotta get back to our regular work, and Bacardi has to get back to shipping their product.
I'd still like to take a few more loads for them.
Look, Dalton, this is a highly organized crime ring with employees, a distribution network, and all sorts of resources at their disposal. The last thing we want or need is some civilian who figures he's gonna bring the whole thing down by himself. You hear me?
I hear you, Detective.
Mark's eyes were on the floor, but they rose up slowly until he was looking the detective straight in the eye.
Now maybe you can hear me. I got ripped off for a very profitable load, and then I successfully delivered a truck full of police officers to a booze warehouse, a delivery that paid me nothing. As you pointed out on a previous occasion, I do have a truck that's expensive to run and a business to operate, so getting another load from the distillery would be an excellent way of making up for my lost time.
Since you put it that way, I suppose I could ask the shipper for a favor and get you a few more loads.
Mark was still angry and didn't appreciate the detective being so agreeable. He'd been all ready to have it out with the man, and now he had to be polite.
Yeah, well, thank you.
You know, just stay out of trouble, all right?
I don't go looking for it, you know. It just sort of finds me.
Mark wound up getting a load to Montreal that was scheduled to leave the distillery the next morning around 11. He got a room at the Comfort Inn on Clark Boulevard. There, as he lay back on the bed, his mind began to wander over the events of the day, and he eventually got to thinking about how the thieves had known to hijack him the first time, but leave him alone the second. It was as if someone had tipped off the thieves so they wouldn't bother with the second load. That meant it was either an inside job, or somebody was spending an awful lot of time watching the trucks being loaded. If someone knew what they were looking at, it wouldn't be too hard for them to figure out what had been loaded onto the trailer. So the thieves had probably known Mark had been involved with the police, maybe even knew there were police inside the trailer as well as in front and behind him on the road. But there would be no police trailing him tomorrow morning. He'd be all by himself again, a sitting duck for a group of knowledgeable thieves. Or maybe not. He'd promised Detective Monahan that he wouldn't try to catch the thieves by himself, and he absolutely had no intentions of trying it. That would be stupid. However, what was to stop him from, say, putting the word out and letting people know that he was willing to go into business with the thieves? It would be easier for them if they had a driver on their side, able to provide them with information on loads and maybe take a knock on the head every once in a while for a percentage of the load they'd be stealing from him. At over $1 million a load, even a 1% cut would be like winning the lottery. Then, when he'd been accepted by the thieves, he could give the police all the information they needed to break up the operation and put everyone involved behind bars for a long, long time. That was a good idea, and he knew just how to make it work. Mark started with the coffee shop of the Comfort Inn. Judging by the number of rigs parked in the hotel lot, the place was popular with truckers who wanted to spend the night somewhere other than their sleeper before taking on a load in the morning. Mark found a group of men sitting around a table, a couple of them wearing ball caps of transport companies, the others casually dressed in sweatsuits.
How you doing, fellas?
The men nodded.
You're looking at one lucky man. Got me a load of booze in the morning going all the way to Montreal. There's some extra work that goes with the load. Pay is excellent. And it couldn't have come at a better time, too, if you know what I mean. I'm overdue a few payments on my rig, and my ex-wife's screaming at me how the kids need braces. And to top it all off, my mom needs to go into a home. You know what those places charge each month?
And on he went, spreading the word that there was an owner-operator who was pretty desperate for an infusion of cash. After visiting two more coffee shops and a nearby bar, giving the same performance at each place, Mark headed back to the Comfort Inn and waited.
Hello?
You Dalton?
Yeah, who's this?
Hear you're hurting for cash.
Isn't everyone?
Not drivers who play it smart.
I think I know what you mean.
You sound smart to me.
Thanks.
You got a load tomorrow, right?
That's right.
Now, a dumb shit driver would take that load straight to its destination and get his mileage, right?
Right.
But a smart driver, now he'd stop for coffee at a little mom and pop shop at the corner of Steelwell and Hedgedale.
I hear they serve good coffee there.
You are smart, aren't you?
I like to think so.
You park your rig as far from the coffee shop as you can and you stay inside for a second cup of coffee. When you get out, you check your load, and then you call the cops.
That's it?
Earn yourself a quick 10 large cash.
Sounds easy.
Easiest money you're ever gonna make in your life.
Mark thought back on his days as a private investigator and had to admit, $10,000 for having a cup of coffee beat the hell out of working for a living. But of course, he wouldn't be taking any money for his part in this. As soon as he got off the phone, he'd be getting in touch with Detective Monahan to tell him what was going on. Then, tomorrow, when he stopped for a coffee, there'd be cops all over the place just waiting for someone to rip off his trailer.
Oh, one more thing.
What's that?
You try anything funny, like, say, calling the cops. Just remember, we know where your parents live. Something goes wrong with the plan. Then something goes wrong with them. You understand?
Mark felt his heart skip a beat.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Mark quickly called his parents.
Hello?
Hi, Mom.
Mark?
Yeah.
What's wrong?
Nothing. I just wanted to call and see how you and Dad were doing.
Well, his back's acting up, but other than that, we're fine. When are you coming to see us?
As soon as I can, Mom. I love you.
I'll love you too, honey.
What the hell do I do now?
The next morning, Mark picked up his load. Although he hadn't done anything wrong yet, he found it hard to look the shipper and everyone else on the dock in the eye. He'd gotten into this thing thinking he'd be able to get out whenever he wanted, but such things weren't up to him. When you're in. And it's almost impossible to get out. He'd laughed when Al Pacino said as much in The Godfather Part 3, but now he knew better. For the time being, Mark decided he would go along with the thieves' plan. Of course, he would be looking for an out the whole time, but there was no way on earth he was going to put his parents in any kind of jeopardy. Just thinking about it now made him feel sick to his stomach. As Mark exited the distillery, instead of turning west on Steele's, he turned east so he could make his scheduled stop at the coffee shop that was in the industrial area south of Steele's and west of Tompkin Road. Explaining to the police why he had taken such a detour from Highway 410 just for a cup of coffee would be a tough task, but Mark had always been able to think on his feet, and everyone said he could bullshit with the best of them. If all went well, his trailer would be ripped off and he'd make a report to the police. As long as he wasn't implicated in the robbery, $10,000 would be finding its way to him at some point in the future. He had no intention of keeping the money and would likely give it to charity, or maybe send his parents on a trip and give the rest to charity. And that would be the end of his career driving loads of booze and cigarettes. Mark turned right onto Tompkin and then made a right at the first street, Steelwell Road. The coffee shop was on the corner of Steelwell and Hedgedale. It was called Truckastop, and Mark could almost picture the short, aged Italian man that would be working behind the counter inside. They told him to park as far away from the shop as possible, and in order to do that, he'd have to drive around the back of the building and park between the building and the fence on the other side of the lane. It was a perfect location for the thieves because the back of the trailer was completely hidden from view and any size truck could back up behind it without attracting much attention. Mark shut down Motherlode, got out, and made sure all the doors to the cab were locked behind him. All he needed was a greedy thief to start looking through his truck after the trailer had been cleaned out. Mark took forever to cross the parking lot and reach the coffee shop, dragging his feet every step of the way. As he neared the shop door, he could just hear the sound of another truck in the distance. It was likely already backed up to his trailer, and in less than an hour, he'd be hauling a trailer full of nothing. A short, middle-aged Italian man was behind the counter. He walked up to Mark.
What do you want?
A coffee, please.
Espresso? Or a dirty water?
Pardon me?
You want espresso or Canadian coffee?
Mark had never been in a place that called any kind of coffee Canadian.
Canadian, please.
The man poured out a large cup and Mark dropped a loonie on the counter. Mark glanced around the shop. There were middle-aged and elderly men smoking cigarettes and playing cards all over the place. There was a large screen television high up on the wall in one corner of the room, and there were shelves of products, cookies and soda pop he'd never seen on sale at the A&P, lining two of the other walls. Mark didn't belong here, that was obvious. In fact, no trucker belonged here. This was a kind of social club for older men, or a place where young men who didn't collect regular paychecks conducted their business. Mark imagined what he would sound like talking to the police.
Well, I decided that since I was headed to Montreal, I thought I'd get a little European atmosphere at first. Sure, it's about 20 minutes out of the way, but I just had to have an espresso before I hit the 401.
One again?
Yeah, sure. Espresso this time.
The man smiled, as if Mark's order pleased him to no end. Mark glanced at his watch. He'd been here 20 minutes. He'd finish his espresso and head back to his truck. If he happened on the thieves while they were in the act, then so be it. Mark stirred two spoonfuls of sugar into the tiny cup and drank the coffee in a gulp. He left money on the counter, then headed back outside. It was still cold outside, or at least it felt like it, with the way the sweat down Mark's back seemed to turn to ice in the wind. Suddenly, a blue car was racing across the parking lot toward him.
The police!
His first thought upon realizing that he'd be busted was that his parents were going to pay for his mistake. Even though he hadn't tipped anyone off, the police were here now, and the thieves would probably blame him for it. He'd have to do his best to convince them otherwise. Mark began to run. When he reached the alley, he saw that the truck the thieves had loaded, a 24-foot international van body that had the name of some bakery on the side, had also been stopped by the cops. The cops had their guns drawn as the driver and his three helpers were slowly getting out of the cab. Mark ran toward them. A police car screeched to a halt in front of him. Two cops got out, the one on the passenger side first.
Stop right there!
Mark kept running but slowed his pace somewhat. The cop caught up to him, put a hand on him and tried to turn him around. Mark glanced over and made sure the driver and his friends were watching. Then he threw a right cross that caught the cop square on the chin. The cop was dazed a moment, but then recovered. A second later, there were hands all over Mark, pushing him down onto the pavement and twisting his arms behind him.
Take it easy, pal, and you'll be all right.
After that, all Mark could think about was whether or not his little performance had been good enough to save his parents' lives. When they arrived at the police station, Mark still hadn't been placed under arrest, and he was beginning to wonder if he was ever going to be. Then he was brought into a room where Detective Monahan sat waiting for him.
Caught the bad guys.
Yeah, what the hell did you think you were doing?
I thought I'd go along with them, then call you to set something up.
So what happened?
They said they'd kill my parents if I talked to you.
You're worried about them, are you?
Mark nodded.
Well, your father's worried about you, too. Says he's gonna kick your ass the next time he sees you.
What?
Give us some credit, Dalton. We knew what you were doing.
You did?
Your dispatcher, Bud, called us and told us all about you. Told us not to be surprised if you went and did something stupid on your own. So instead of trying to stop you, we watched you around the clock. Damned if you didn't go and do just what Bud said you would.
But my parents...
Your parents are all right. And now that we've got everyone involved in the ring locked up, they'll be fine.
The detective's eyes narrowed.
You, on the other hand, are in a whole lot of trouble.
Are you gonna arrest me?
Maybe. See, my problem is, I don't know if I should arrest you or give you a citation. But That's not the trouble I'm talking about.
Then what's my problem?
Constable Bradley, the one you caught with your right hand? Well, his shift ends in about 10 minutes, and he said he'd be dropping by to see you.
See me for what? If you won't be needing me for anything else, I think I'll be moving on now.
You're free to go.
Moments later, Mark was gone.
If you enjoyed this Mark Dalton adventure, be sure to check out next month's episode, featured on the following action-packed titles. Stony Man number 4, The Executioner number 322, Time Bomb, and Blood Bond number 10, The Hanging Road.
If you can't find that hot graphic audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.